Harry, right, first question. I remember one of the journalists on the plane when the Pope was going out to, obviously, Jordan to begin with. He was doing his piece to camera when the Pope had gone past, and he said, it's going to take quite a lot of skill for Pope Francis to go through those three countries and not step on some political landmines. Do you think he managed it?
Yes, I think he did manage it. He didn't step on any political landmines. I think, by and large, the Pope was very careful. If you look at what he said and what he did in Jordan, which was the easy part of the trip, and then in Bethlehem and Jerusalem, not only did he avoid any faux pas and any minefields, but he also was very balanced, very symmetrical. So anything he did on the Palestinian side, there was a corresponding movement or gesture on the Israeli side. So much so that some people who wanted to be critical said that it was too evenly balanced out. But yes, he was quite careful. And in so doing, I think he was trying to make sure that nobody got upset by anything he said or did.
But some of the, I suppose, some of the statements were almost made without words, weren't they? I mean, I think back to his head on the separation wall.
The symbolism of the whole visit was what spoke out to many people, in my opinion. It's not so much what he said or what he did, but the gestures, the symbols that he was emitting during his visit. For instance, stopping in front of the separation wall in Bethlehem. For instance, visiting the Center for the Victims of Terrorism in Israel. All these things were symbols that basically reminded people of the need to try and talk to each other. And in his opinion, probably, these were catalysts for peacemaking.
We can't forget the situation with civil war in Syria. And you and I have spoken about the impact on neighbouring countries. The Holy Father also met with refugees that have obviously had to move from Syria as a result of that conflict. What did you make of those visits?
One of the key objectives of this three-day visit was to meet the Syrian refugees in the Jordanian desert, and that he did. He spent some time with them, and I think it was important not only insofar as he met them and inspired some hope, but also he put them on a map. He reminded people of the need to address the humanitarian issue, which is a product of this almost four-year war that is taking place in Syria. And in a sense, not only did he meet with Syrian refugees, but he also met with Christians who'd come from Iraq and Lebanon. And of course, Iraq and Lebanon are also two countries that are full of different forms of conflict. So in a sense, that human as well as humanitarian dimension of the visit was very pronounced. And I think it is something that suits this Pope very well.
Then, of course, we had what was pretty much being branded as the reason for the visit, the 50th anniversary of the meeting between Athenagoras, the ecumenical patriarch of Constantinople, and Pope Paul VI. Now, of course, Patriarch Bartholomew and Pope Francis were doing that same dance again. Was it some of these other issues you think that dwarfed that, and that hence that wasn't necessarily the biggest story to come from this papal visit?
Well, it's interesting because I think what happened is that the political expectations of the visit overwhelmed the meeting between Pope Francis and the ecumenical patriarch Bartholomew I. In my opinion, that encounter at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem did not receive the attention that it was due. It was a very, very important meeting because you're talking about two foremost leaders of the Catholic and Orthodox churches meeting together and driving, nudging, taking the church forward toward unity. And yet it almost fizzled out in the midst of all the other meetings, and people were far more interested about what political statement he would make or what iconic symbol he would come up with rather than this ecumenical meeting. But the fact remains that they did meet. They did recall the 50th year of the meeting that had taken place in 64 between Paul VI and Patriarch Athenagoras. And in a sense, the joint declaration celebrates that. But yes, there was very little recognition of that, so much so that even the churches of the Holy Land didn't seem to be drumming up the importance of that meeting far too much.
And finally, meetings sometimes lead to meetings, and the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, and the Israeli president, Shimon Peres, have agreed, have they not, to go to Rome on the 8th of June.
It's interesting because he invited both Israeli and Palestinian presidents, Shimon Peres and Mahmoud Abbas, to go to what he called my home in Rome. And they're going to go to the Vatican for a prayer meeting. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, what is going to be the outcome of that? Are they in the process of preparing a new roadmap, or is this a papal initiative for a peaceful resolution of the conflict? Of course, it's none of those things. The Pope is only a facilitator. All he does is to use the words of Bishop Declan, Chair of International Affairs, he's an apostle who's bringing a sign of peace with him, and it is up to the two presidents and it is up to the two peoples, the Israelis and the Palestinians and their leaders, to decide what to do with it. But that is basically the meeting that will take place in Rome.
But the very fact they're getting together is a step, isn't it? A visible step.
The fact that they're getting together is a goodwill gesture by both sides. Let us not forget, both are old men. Both do not have many years ahead of them, I suspect. And therefore, they're trying to show that they are willing to take this process forward and try and explore if there is any possibility of having peace between Palestinians and Israelis. But peace will not be established at the Vatican. Peace is not, unfortunately, only the byproduct of prayer. Peace will only be established and will only occur if certain realities happen, not least the stopping of settlements and the stopping of this animosity between the two peoples. Remove the occupation, undo the occupation, stop attacking each other, whether verbally or physically, and then aim for peace. That is the key to the whole conflict, not those meetings. Doran's meetings are what I call very important confidence-building measures, but they're always a second track, not the primary track of any negotiation.